last week, a fascinating question in terms of the second half, I would call, of organ donation. The first half is whether one's allowed to do it, whether one's allowed to go through the procedure, the risks involved, and things of that nature. But the second question that is asked is, well, whose body really is it once the donation has been completed? And we pointed out that most of the posts can point to a sugya in Meseches Arla, where the Gemara over there says, based on a Mishnah, that when you connect part of a tree, when you graft one tree to the next, so the new part, which is now part of a much larger tree, gets the same status as that much larger tree. So if the part which was cut and now placed on an older tree was Arla, but the older tree is not Arla, so even the new branch is considered to be part of the greater tree, and therefore it is not Arla. And the same would be true in the opposite way. And from here, the Paiskim understand that you see that when you make this connection, at least when it comes to vegetation, the jump, the leap to human beings is quite a leap. But the Paiskim are seemingly comfortable making that leap. And that was the first proof that they brought, that with regards to any sort of organ donation, whether it be any part of the body really, once the donation has been executed and once the surgery is completed, this becomes a full-fledged part of the new person's body.
What about when they plant the Arla, they don't remove the earth and they plant just a branch?
So that's a separate sugya of
then it takes its own.
What?
Then it takes on its own.
Okay. Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with the old or the new.
Well, that's a separate sugya of taking with the gush. Taking with the gush, Well, we're not discussing Arla now, mostly because I don't really know too much about it. But we'll stick to the question about the human beings. I just brought in the discussion by Arla because that's the proof that they bring. Exactly. So some of the poskim can say ki eitz adam ka adam eitz hasadeh. So it's hard to make a halachic argument based on that. But they're comfortable making this equation. Some actually argue that, how can you make such an equation? That's much of the conversation that goes by. But my main objective tonight is really to take you on a little bit of a detour. I just wanted to set the scene of the context. So we were discussing this question of whether an organ attached to a new body is considered to be part of the new human being. And in that context, we began discussing a fascinating machlokes between the Chacham Tzvi and Tzvi Ashkenazi and the crazy place, Rabbi Yonis and Eifshitz. We mentioned last week that this particular argument had many, many different ramifications. Last week, we discussed the historical ramifications that it ended up costing the Chacham Tzvi his job. But this this discussion, this argument, these tshuvas back and forth really play a very prominent role in halachic literature as well, from all different ends of the spectrum. First of all, in the whole discussion with brain death that has come up and come up again throughout our history, most recently, obviously, the most recent discussion with Rabbi Tendler, which we discussed in the past, is brain death considered to be halachic death? So that discussion is heavily based on this conversation between the Chacham Tzvi and the Plesi. So have your antennas, your halachic antennas up for proofs in that realm. The discussion in general, whether one who is deciding halachic decisions, does he have to bend to scientific assumptions of the day? That question is, again, always comes back to this question of the Chacham Tzvi and the crazy place, a very big philosophical issue. Do we take into account? Do we assume it to be 100% true? Do we not take into account at all? That's another question which is heavily, heavily debated in this discussion. So I wanted to take a little bit of a detour. We'll come around and show why this is relevant to our particular conversation. But let's take a good close look at this debate between the Chacham Tzvi and the Krasi Uplesi. So, as we mentioned, the debate began when a girl, described by the Chacham Tzvi to be a young girl. We're not sure how old she is. When there is a girl who came to the Chacham Tzvi, came to her mother first, it sounds like, and said that, you know, I was cleaning out the chicken that you just shechted in the backyard. I was cleaning out the chicken, and I cut open the chicken, and this chicken had something different than all other chickens. It had no heart. There was no heart in this chicken. So, as a good parent, what do we tell our kids? You don't know what you're talking about. There was a heart, and you lost it. You dropped it. It went under the table. There was a cat there. The cat ate it. And the girl stuck her gun. She said, there was no heart in this chicken. So they come to the Rav, the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi says, your mother's right. Of course there was a heart. There's just no heart right now. Let's take a look at the arguments of the Chacham Tzvi. Mar Mokum Tes. On the Marmakayim sheet. So we don't have to read the first paragraph. We read that last time. Let's skip to the second paragraph where he begins, and you'll see how confident he was in his decision. Says the Chacham Tzvi, Tshuva, Marmakam Tes, Tshuva Tolim Kola Oimrim Kein. Anyone who possibly is arguing that this chicken was actually living without a heart, Kidover is making a mistake. Kidover Baruhu Lekola Sheliboy Lev Chacham Bekirbo. Anyone who has a Lev Chacham, Umoyach Bikarkado, and anyone who has a brain in his skull, She'efshar Lishum Nivra Ba'olam, Lichyas Afilu Shoachas below Lev. It is simply impossible that this chicken was walking around without a heart. The obvious conclusion must be that it had a heart, and you just missed it, and it was given to the cat to eat. V'ya ke'echad abriyim, and it looked like a healthy chicken. V'yesha le'tzayir klal metziyas nito. The only case that maybe the Shulchan Aruch is referring to when it talks about having an animal with no heart is when the heart was taken out, and right after you did a shechita. So then it's possible it didn't live for many minutes on its own. So then there's a question, does it make it a treifa? But you're arguing this chicken never had a heart? Impossible. El shetek of achshir chotcha leiv min abal chay shachtu. Then they caught it. Umachmas choyli iyef shaloymar sheyimas leiv. And don't try to tell me that it had some sickness where the heart disintegrated on its own. There's no such thing. And if there was a such thing, so not only would the heart disintegrate, the whole chicken would look sick. You don't just lose your heart and walk around like a normal chicken. Apparently, v'yismakvek v'lo yem mesukim b'madrega tachloina. This chicken looked 100% healthy. V'yoyser gerua. It wasn't even sick. Adarabba Shmeino Bria was a healthy chicken. Toivo Shlema Bicholchusha Veimba Shemroisha Misima Madavar Borar Shalibal Nafa Bipsicha Bitnav the Achluachasa. The heart fell to the floor. The cat got to it before you saw it. No questions asked. It had a heart. Certainly not a trefa. Nothing to discuss. Just take a look at how he continues with the fierce, antagonistic lashon. The ain tzarich raya, and I don't even need to bring a proof to this. Listing pia tipshim, right? To prove these people, they don't know what they're talking about. Hakoyftzim lahiras. They love making piskei lacha, so they jump at paskanim before thinking about it. Ra'ezem otzasi. Take a look at, I don't have to bring proofs, but I'll just bring a few of them. Look at the Kesem Mishnah and the Rambam, where the Rambam said, where the Rambam doesn't bring this trefa of where it's missing a heart. You know why, says the Chacham Tzvi? Because it can't possibly happen. So that's why the Rambam doesn't bring it. And take a look at the Zohar, Parshas Pinchas. So it ends up, it's fascinating. Take a look at the Zohar. Pesoy Chashayla Shashol Rebbe, I don't know who that is, Me Eliyahu. Beheshel Od Mesivta Derikiyah. Rebbe Leizer, I think. Mesiv Terekia, Amru, Lizel Shaina. Kama de Shaifin lo yochel amekem, afilu raga chada, beloy liba. No entity, no organism could live, no living animal could live without a heart. Velo shiny poisek halachas mitoicha zayer. Don't accuse me of paskening from the zayer. But something as simple as this, you want a proof, I'll bring you another proof from the zayer. L'shadavar muskel rishon, right? Not always do you pasken from the zayer, but sometimes it makes sense, it's obvious, it makes sense, so we could pasken. That's true for number one, 100% confident, there's nothing to talk about. Apparently people were not convinced, because the very next tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi revisits it. And take a look at Marmokum Yud, where the Chacham Tzvi says as follows, Sover ani Tzvi Ashkenazi, Sover hayisi, Shelo yistapik odom asher b'shem Chacham yichuna b'chai, Kol b'alchai gashmi. I didn't think that anyone who would legitimately consider himself a Chacham would actually question my psak on this. But, Shem tuyim b'libo, v'shehedor yedu b'alo, because everyone knows that achias, the life of a living animal, is considered to be in the heart. Therefore, I wrote a short tshuva. Harishoyna. But now I see, apparently, there are people that are actually questioning whether this is true. Is it possible to live without a heart? So apparently, Chacham Tzvi was not convincing. Chacham Echad, who we'll see very shortly, was Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, took him on again very, very strongly. And the Chacham Tzvi says, you're not convinced, now I have to write a longer tshuva. Continues Chacham Tzvi, past the ellipsis. HaTorah Sasafik Zen Nokelhu. It's an easy shayla. Achre Sheyadani Kimishkan Ruach HaChiyuni Hu Belev. Now he ventures off into really a different category, which those could argue whether it's relevant or not is a question, and it certainly ends up being a major part of the machlokes. Says Chacham Tzvi, until now he was arguing, it's impossible, could never happen, no animal would live like this, obviously you're wrong. Open and close. You're wrong, it had a heart, it couldn't, this chicken obviously would have been sick, it's impossible, fine. Now he starts discussing, well, where does the neshama live? Where does the chiyas come from? A whole philosophical discussion. So now, if your argument is no longer based on it's impossible, but it's based on the fact that we know that that's where the chiyas comes from, and we know that the neshama, the ruach, of an animal comes from the heart. So now I'm proving to you it's impossible to live without a heart. Now you just opened up a Pandora's box. Now you're telling me that that's where the source of chiyas is. So now that's a whole new discussion. If I could prove that someone could live without a heart, that proves you wrong. Until now, that wasn't necessarily part of the discussion. Now he's moving, veering off into a new conversation. Where does the neshama, for lack of a better word, we don't mean the spiritual neshama that we talk about in human beings necessarily, but that thing that which makes an animal go, where does that reside? Does it reside in the heart? Says the Chacham Tzvi, it resides in the heart, and therefore, if it had no heart, it wouldn't be alive. Continues the Chacham Tzvi, HaTorah Safik Nokel, Ki Mishkan Ruach HaChiyuni Belev, everyone knows that it resides in the heart. Alibadu Chulei Amu, K'mo Shanachnu Asidim Levar, like I'll explain. If there was no heart, it wouldn't have the nefesh achaya, the koyach yuchiyuni, which allows an animal to be alive, and it would die on the spot. Again, not necessarily from a physical standpoint. He's saying that is the source of chiyus. That is the place, the mishkan hanefesh, mishkan haruach. It's explicit in the Zohar. And he continues along with these arguments to be, again, in the second tshuva, he stresses the point that that is where all the chachamim tell us, that's where the koach hachiyuni resides. So, two basically different arguments, not mutually exclusive by any means, but it's important to keep both of them on. In the first argument, he says, it's simply impossible, we've never heard of such a thing, it's impossible to have a heart, you obviously got the facts wrong, and it's not a treif. In the second argument, he says, it's impossible, but not just because we've never seen anyone live like this, and how could someone live without a heart pumping the blood through, but we know that that's where the koyach achias is from. And if that's where the koyach achias resides, so automatically an animal without a heart is not a living animal. You take out the heart of an animal, it's not a heart, it's not an animal, it's not living anymore. Obviously, you could see, we've taken to the most extreme conclusions, the ramifications of this could be tremendous. Ends off Rav Yaakov Emden, last paragraph. Udvarim she'enan hu oimer v'lo nishma. These things are impossible to conceive. V'lo nira davar zeh le'echa min ha'poiskim. No one would even entertain such a possibility that there was actually no heart in this chicken. V'lo afilu echa min ha'dabrim. V'chalila ba'yira ba'yimotze l'shem adam ba'olam she'yoymer she'efshe lebel chai li'borais b'lilev. It's impossible for any person to think that there's a bal chai without a heart. And I would, says Chacham Tzvi to his Baal Prokta, I would suggest that you keep this quiet. Everyone's going to laugh at you. Please, for your own covet, keep this quiet. This is the presentation by the Chacham Tzvi. Now, we have to give chance to for the Bar Plugta. Who was the Bar Plugta we mentioned? Was a young Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz, right? He knew the family well before he started arguing with Yaakov Emden. This was not a new family to him. He knew them well, and he had taken on his father, which Yaakov Emden did not appreciate necessarily. Take a look at what the place he writes in Maromokom Yud Aleph. He begins by discussing, by bringing the Rambam. And he says that just a simple look at the Rambam would indicate that I'm correct. In the first line, he says, Berambam, Perek Yud Mehilcha Shechita, Halacha Tes, Tam Sheh Hishmid HaRambam, Nita Lem, De Shalorasi Limnois, Rak Elu Oivarim, Sheh Afim Yechshev Yenelu Oivarim, Komakom Efshel Behem Elichias, Ksasman, Av Oivarim Shem Yenotlu, if you take them, Lo Yochel, Eskayim, Afil Shachas, Lomanam, he didn't count. It's impossible for him to live without a heart. That's why the Rambam didn't even mention it. Kach lomana nital ha leiv. That's why the Rambam didn't say gila daitel shanita leiv nevel. Says the place. What do you see? That if an animal doesn't have a heart, it's considered to be treifa, considered to be a nevel. Now he quotes the Chacham Tzvi, who argues from this Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam say? Because it's impossible, based on the Kesem Mishnah. Now skip down. I would say till within this tshuva of the place. Seven lines down from the top of the paragraph, towards the end of the line. It's very important. These last words are going to be important, because most of the time, by the time you finish the place, you forget these words. V'zehu yofe hoire. He paskined right. Right? People forget that. He actually agreed with him about this psak. So halacha l'maisa, he was agreeing with the Chacham Tzvi. V'zehu yofe hoire. He paskined right. Ki talina tamid amar matzeh. Because it's more likely that the girl got it wrong, and the heart fell to the ground, and the cat ate it. So halacha l'maisa is fascinating, because you have a tshuva here, which is so prominent in the history of halacha, and in the history, and it wasn't even a machlekes l'maisa. They both agreed that in this case, the animal is kosher. People forget about that point. But, he says, skip down another line, end of the sentence, v'soyiv dvara, but at the end of the Chacham Tzvi, he went too far, says Yonason Eibshitz. And he's even willing to say that if you open up the chicken, and you have Edim testifying, and they testify that there was no heart in this chicken, says the Chacham Tzvi, I would paskin that they're lying. I have Edim telling me that I saw them open the heart. And I saw them open the chicken, and there was no heart, said the Chacham Tzvi, I would say they're Eidim Psulim, they're lying to us, says Yonis Mashis, now you've gone too far. V'loinimsa pasaki Eidim Shikrihim, v'nishon ala Rambam, and he based himself on Rambam, v'hifriz, I'll skip a little to the next sentence, v'hifriz ala Amida b'yoyser, he went too far, says Yonis Mashis, after the ellipsis. Aval dover zeh v'chiyeshel of Kabbalah remez b'chazal. Where does he know this from? How does he know? Rak boni l'daitoi api haskalas ha'teva, because the scientist told him. Umitziyish lo yitzru l'bal chai, because he's never seen it. Leo is chai behedre lev, so to him it's impossible. V'chizehu achosher ha'kabbalah v'atoira, if the Torah says it's possible, so why don't we just ignore Torah because the scientists say it's impossible? Obviously you can see the ramifications of what he's trying to say over here. You have Edim coming, and the halacha is we're going to go with Edim. You're going to say, no, here we don't go with Edim because it's impossible. Who told you it's impossible? I don't care what they say. If Edim would come and tell me, I believe the Edim. We listen to the Torah. The fact that the scientists disagree, I don't care. I don't know what you're so concerned about. We go with halacha, and if halacha mandates X, even if the scientists tell us we're crazy, we don't listen. Says Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz, look a little bit into history. Haven't we learned our lesson? V'chein tamid, this is something very important to realize. People forget this point that he's about to make. Ad ki achshav aydei nisayim bazer nasoygu ocher mamish mikol hanochas glaynos arista yichudoyme yivcheru hanochas v'yisoydis chadashim. At the time of the Rambam, Aristotle and his peers were considered to be fact in the secular world. In the philosophical world. They were at the helm. There was nothing to talk about. If you rejected them, it would be like rejecting any scientist today. And the Rambam, in fact, based much of his philosophy on Aristotle. Now, of course, you'll be hard-pressed to find a philosopher that even talks the same language as Aristotle. It's totally considered to be ancient, most of what Aristotle said. And it would have been the same thing at that time to reject it. So says Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, you see that with time these things change. The norm, the assumptions are always changing. Right? At the time of the Rambam, you would have rejected such a thing, you would have been laughed out of town. Now you accept such a thing, you're laughed out of town. So how could you go based on what they're saying? Oh yeah, you could accept it, you could use it. But to base an entire psak halacha based on what you're learning from the scientific world, for all you know, 10 years you come back, the whole thing has changed. And we've seen this time and time again, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz. Imken eich b'shvi yisoy des tevel metzias, nachish ha'edin v'nater iser trefa v'safik shalom. V'chol ze ilu ha'davar muskam u'bora b'li choylek mi'balei Torah. Ava ha'chachti la'el da'ovais oylem ena maskin. So he says, I'm not convinced, I'm not concerned, I'm not bothered by everything you're bothered by, the fact that you think it's not true. And he says, in fact, says the place in the next paragraph, I do think it's possible. Not only am I not convinced by the scientists because they said they'd never seen it, I think it's possible. How is it possible for a chicken to live without a heart? Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in the next paragraph. There are times where, I don't know what the appropriate word here is, it almost disintegrates the heart. What are you? Shrivels up the heart. And it's not recognizable. There's something else there. It doesn't look like a heart. Doesn't sound like a heart, doesn't feel like a heart at all, but it's another aver that somehow is pumping the blood through the body. Velo toyer like a lev, and it doesn't look like a heart, it's not described like a heart. But it has the ability to pump blood through like a heart. So you're so nervous, where's the chiyas, where's the neshama of this animal going to live? It'll live in this organ. Aye, but the organ, but the animal, the chicken, has no heart. So says Yaakov Emden, says Yonasan Eibshitz, first of all, I'm not convinced by your arguments. And second of all, I happen to think that it is possible. Skip down to the last sentences of Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz to finish it up. Vizehu, the third from the bottom. Vizehu asher kosva ha-poiskim anal, nitol ha-lev trefa. And the poiskim are exactly talking about this case, where this other part of the body, this other organ, which doesn't look like a heart, doesn't feel like a heart, we don't know what it is, but there's no heart here, and the function of the heart is being taken care of by some other organ, somehow. He says, I've seen it happen before. It's documented, apparently, in the science of that time. It was, such a thing was possible. He says, that's what happened here. So therefore, there was no heart, and therefore, it's considered nitol ha'lev, and it's a trefa. It would be a trefa. Now, in this case, he says it's so rare for that to happen that an animal has no heart, so I'd assume the cat ate it. But it's definitely possible. If I had Adam telling me that that was possible, I would definitely go with that. And that's the machoikis between the Chacham Tzvi on the one hand and the crazy Placey on the other hand. Just to show you a small sampling of where this debate comes up. So we mentioned this debate comes up in the question of brain death. Take a look at the Tzitz Eliezer, Yud Gimel. Tzitz Eliezer was probably the foremost poisek on medical ethics in the last generation, so he has many, many, many tshuvas written about the brain death controversy. So I just picked one and just a small sample just to show you that this comes up in that conversation. In Mar Malkum Yud Gimel, says the Tzitz Eliezer, Galina. That's Galenus. Kava shehachiyus tali b'mayach. Right, that he was a philosopher who had decided that the chiyus of a living animal resides not like the Chacham Tzvi in the heart, but in the mind, in the brain. Aristotle savar hepech. What did he think? Shakol tali b'leiv. That it's all in the heart. Uba hamara gadol v'arayfa amitu beno harambam. The Rambam v'chriya kedas Aristoi, and the Rambam sided with Aristotle, shahachios tolei believe that the chiyus of an animal is in the heart. V'chol sheish chiyus bodin chayim ala yitzer. Baruch shalom nukevei das harambam. Of course, we're going to go with the Rambam. And how do I know that we've accepted the psak of the Rambam and we assume that the chiyus of an animal, the life force of an animal, resides in the heart of the animal? It's a mefurish Chacham Tzvi, the Chacham Tzvi, in this question about whether you could have a chicken without a heart, says it's impossible because then the chicken wouldn't have any chiyus. Chacham Tzvi argues that the chiyus resides in the heart. So you say, says Tzitzel Yezer, we assume, like the Rambam, that the chiyus resides in the heart. Obviously, tremendous ramification if you're trying to argue that the person's really dead because he's brain dead, but the heart's pumping 100% fine, or at least with machines, it seems to be working fine, hasn't stopped. So then, obviously, this will have larger ramifications. Again, we've discussed brain death in the past. That's not my point here. My point is just to show you the ramifications of this discussion. Okay, so we have this machlokes. We see they argue about how much to take into account science in halacha. We see that they're talking both from a halachic perspective. They bring in philosophy. It's really a fascinating discussion. Now comes the Divrei Menachem. The Divrei Menachem is written by, not his most famous work, but a fascinating work by Rav Menachem Kasher, who we've discussed in the past. His, obviously, his magnum opus was Torah Shleima, Al HaTorah, but he had some tshuvas as well, hard tshuvas to find, but you can find them here and there. Divrei Menachem. And he says, well, if you take this logic of the Chacham Tzvi to its most extreme conclusion, what did Chacham Tzvi tell us? Chacham Tzvi told us that it's impossible to live without a heart. And therefore, it's impossible it had no heart. If something had no, doesn't have a heart, by definition, it's not alive. That is where the chiyas of a living organism, a living being, resides. So now let's say we have a case of where we know for a fact there's no heart. Yes, and in the time of the Chacham Tzvi, maybe that meant that the item was that the body you would have seen would have died. But now, we have all sorts of machines. We have all sorts of machines that could do this work for you, at least on a temporary basis. But the person has no heart. So says Rav Nachum Kasher and the Tzitz Eliezer, in the whole discussion about the heart transplant, most of the Paiskim were busy discussing, is it considered a sakana? Is it not considered a sakana? And Rav Moshe Feinstein paskind, at least in those times, much has changed. Obviously, the risk is much less. Rav Moshe Feinstein paskind in those times that, yeah, it's a sakana. You could be killing two people. First of all, when you take out the heart, you're killing the person that you're taking it from, and the risks were so high, you're killing the person that you're giving it to also, because chances are he won't survive, he'll end up dying earlier. So most of the Paiskim were fixed on discussing whether it was a sakana or not. But comes the Tzitz Eliezer, comes the Menachem Kasher and says, I don't understand, you take out his heart, even if he's attached to all sorts of machines, doesn't that mean, according to the Chacham Tzvi, that you killed him?
No.
He's dead? Okay, let's take a look. You think it's simple? Tzitz Eliezer said no. Let's take a look. Take a look at Tzitz Eliezer, Mar Malkim Yud Gimel. Says Tzitz Eliezer, Osvav, Yud Gimel, Osvav. Havehora noisefes al kola omer yesh lahavir. I have a separate problem with the heart transplant. Forget the issue of brain death, whether he could actually donate a heart, but also the person that you're giving the heart to. They're cutting out his natural heart. Oh yes, kveda. Or hashalim, or his liver. If he dies soon after, so of course you caused his death. That's a problem. Like Ramesha says, does Ayu write Seich Mamish? You Mamish killed him. Even if he stays alive, and he lives many months, or even longer than a year, At least you're turning him into a treifa, like the Chacham Tzvi argued. V'u'adin kocha, b'chavei, v'adas nisena sh'aydei sh'shoysen b'mokum zeh, b'kirbo levo kovet shal ish acher, ein moitzino iso aydei kach migedir zeh shal treifa. Kashir koisev b'doyme lezeh ha'kresi v'pleisi. So, kashir nita lev mibachai, afo pishe nimtza b'gufo eiver acher kadmuso uchid, Tavnuso, Uboy Mishkan Harua, Chiyuni, Umimela Tafkido Shalan Lev, and Noisin Loachias. So very good, we figured out a way to take out his heart where he won't die. But according to the Chacham Tzvi, you just killed him, because his Chiyas is not in his body anymore, you just killed him. And even according to the Crazy Uplacy, you turned him into a Trefa. Because the Crazy Uplacy said you didn't kill him, but still, Nito Halev is a Trefa. Take a look at the extent to which Rav Kasher goes. Rav Kasher, you have in the one of the photocopies, Divrei Menachem. Simen Chav Zayin. Says Rav Kasher, you see on the first side says Simen Chav Zayin on the top. Nisbakashti mikvoid harav harashi. Rav Unterman asked me the following child to write a tshuva. Ubed MS on the heart transplant. To adequately reply with a comprehensive tshuva, I don't have time. I'll give you the Rosh Eprakim. Skip down to what I underline. We know that a major part of the Shaila says, the Rav Kasher is based on this machlokes Chacham Tzvi and Kresi Plesi. Are you dead without a heart? Are you, by definition, is that the place of Chiyas? V'Chacham Tzvi, next paragraph, Shom Koisev, he reads, brings the whole crux of the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. And then he brings the next paragraph, V'Alzeh Choylek HaKresi Plesi. We don't have to read it again. And then he brings the Chazon Ish, we'll see in a moment. Look how far he takes it. Turn over to the next page. To the paragraphs, which are, the first word is boxed in. And based on my entire analysis of the Chacham Tzvi versus the Crazy Uplacy, that in our situation of a heart transplant, when they take out the heart, the failing heart of the sick person, and they put within him a new heart, and he dies a month later. What for that month that he lived with the new heart? He was a dead body. He was moving. Okay, sometimes people are mefarches. Sometimes animals are mefarches after they die. But once you took out his heart, he died. And the other place, like the place, maybe he didn't die. Maybe he's considered to be a treifa. He certainly lost his cheskas chayim. Next paragraph. Look how far he takes it. The Eish Nafka Mina Lahalacha. Listen to this. Bishtei hasfaras anal. Now you have a major machlekes between the Chacham Tzvi and the Crazy Uplacy. The Chacham Tzvi says you take out the heart, he's dead. The Crazy Uplacy said he's not dead. So now you did a heart transplant and he goes on his life. He lives for the next 5 years. According to Chacham Tzvi, he died. Maybe he came back to life, but he certainly died. Le'inyan Ishus. Does he have to get remarried? Im neima debinitol halev miyad yesh lo din meis. Umetame, he was dead. He had no heart, according to the Chacham Tzvi. V'chiyuso rak begeder pirchos. K'mo shekatzel Chacham Tzvi. V'afilu ishtilu b'mekir b'lev chadesh. So they gave him a new heart. They did chiyas ha-meisim. V'arayfim taplo l'mashul chodesh yom v'achach meis. K'goinim kabla ishto kedushin achrei. Shoytziyas libo. L'achach chodesh yomim. Shama kebelo kedushin me'acher. Says Rav Kasher, you could take this. You see how far you could take this. If he died, he died. That means his wife is no longer married to him. Everything that happens, his children are yerish him, right? He comes home from the hospital and they say, sorry, Dad, you don't live here anymore, right? This is our house.
No, he should yerish himself since he's dead. We're saying he's dead, so he should yerish himself.
When he comes back alive, you don't yerish yourself. The only children are yerish. Torah never says you yerish yourself.
Can't collect Social Security if he's alive or dead.
Okay, so this is where you see the... the wide, wide ramifications of a discussion that the Chacham Tzvi in the Crazy Place, he never could have dreamed of happening. And they're bringing in the beauty of halacha, the beauty of the continuity of halacha, everlasting. It's always Torah Zenitzchias, always coming back with old shailas to discuss, to describe new questions. So that was a major, major source. In fact, this isn't only a question in the halachic world. I found an article not too long ago, 2 years ago, a fascinating article, where in the secular world they are arguing a very similar thing. This is out of Michigan, I believe. It goes as follows. Stan Larkin, I have no idea who he is, joins brother with transplant after 555 days without a heart. Stan Larkin is looking forward to his upcoming... Okay, we don't have to know about his family's... He's looking forward to his children's birthday. Most of all, he's looking forward to being able to hold his three children again. They're going to attack me. He's looking forward to doing all these things when he leaves the University of Michigan Hospital in a few days, this time with a real human heart. The 25-year-old Larkin had been carrying a 13.5-pound Freedom portable driver in a backpack with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the past 16 months. The backpack, a total artificial heart and driver that pumps blood, is what kept him alive for 555 days until receiving a heart transplant on May 9th, 2016. So, you have a major question. These things become more popular. Is the person considered to be alive? Al pi halacha? Or is the person not considered to be alive, right? You could get a, right? Imagine you're alive, you're, scientifically you're alive, al pi halacha you're dead. It could be very, very confusing, I imagine.
But you have all these things that have changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, the Gemara says an 8-month baby can't live.
Yeah.
Yet we know there's a fact that it does.
Yeah.
So we said that the times have changed, and by taking the baby 8 months, it's now 9 months.
So
whatever it is.
Yeah.
So now.
But what? Why would you argue something changed here?
Because that physical something is still a heart.
In those cases, that well, what's still a heart?
That you know. But it's a heart. It's something
okay. So now we're transitioning into the next part of the shiur, which I see we won't have time for today. You're arguing a new argument. The new argument, which hasn't been posited yet, which comes up in the Paiskim, we have to analyze it well. It's not so simple. Till now we've been discussing either you're alive without a heart, or either you're considered not to have a heart in these cases, right? You have all these machines pumping blood through you. It's considered not to be a heart. And the question is, could a person be alive al pi halacha without a heart? Or, no, does that mean that he's for sure dead? The question is now, well, is it so simple that this person, Stan Larkin, for instance, doesn't have a heart? How do we define what a heart is in halacha? A person has a defibrillator. A person has a pacemaker. These are all questions. Does that become part of... Maybe what the Yonison Eibschitz was talking about, whatever that organ was that was taking the place of a heart, says the Chazon Ish, we'll see next week, maybe that is the new heart. How do you know you define a heart based on what you think a heart looks like? Maybe a heart is the thing that is pumping blood through the body. But before we get there, let's take one last marmokum for tonight, and we'll continue next week, Be'ez Hashem, the Yaivitz. It's always fascinating to see Rav Yaakov Emden discuss things which were discussed by his father. It very often comes to his father's defense, as he does over here, but it seems to be, as understood by most of the poskim, that he's walking his father back a little bit. You saw how his father was very adamant. You could have 100 Edim come and tell me there was no heart. If this chicken looked healthy, I don't believe them. They're Edim, Shkarim, it's impossible for them to leave. Comes, live with that. Comes Rav Yaakov Emden and says, no. My father was being magzim a little bit. He didn't mean that literally, that if Edim would come and tell us, of course. My father believed in miracles. If Edim come and told him that it was a miraculous occurrence, you had an animal living without a heart, so, of course, you'd be forced to believe the Edim. He was being magzim. He was exaggerating. What he meant was that in this case, the most likely scenario is that the cat ate it. Then it becomes very similar again to Rabbi Yonis Vajus. They're both being maskim. In this case, the cat basically ate it. Now the machlokas is it theoretically possible for someone to live without a heart? Yonis Vajus says yes, because you could have this other organ which is pumping blood. Rabbi Yaakov, the Chacham Tzvi, says no. But it's very important what the Chacham Tzvi is saying. Because now, if you take the Chacham Tzvi, if what the Rav Yaakov Emden is saying, because now if you understand Rav Yaakov Emden's understanding of the Chacham Tzvi, until now we were assuming in the Chacham Tzvi that if you have no heart, so you're automatically considered to be dead. By definition, you're automatically dead. An animal without a heart, you're dead. So therefore, if I'm hooked up to machines, there's nothing to talk about. If I don't have a heart, the machines could be doing a much better job pumping the blood than my heart did. But he said, you don't have a koyach achiyuni, you're like a robot. You don't have a koyach achiyuni without a heart. What makes a living animal is the heart. If there's no heart, then you are simply not alive. But now that Rav Yaakov Emden is walking his father back a little bit and saying, nah, he didn't mean exactly as adamantly as he said. He doesn't mean it's impossible. Everyone believes in miracles. It could be a miracle. And if in fact we would see someone walking around without a heart, he wouldn't say, oh, Alpidin, he's dead. Of course he would agree that he's alive. But he would say it's a miracle. I'd much rather say that a miracle didn't happen and the cat ate it. But this basically means that Chacham Tzvi would agree that if it was a miracle, or if we have the miracle of modern technology, where you could have a person like Stan Larkin walking around without a heart, according to Yaakov Emden's version of his father's psak, he would agree with Rav Yonis and Aipshis, and they would both agree, not like Rav Kasha said, that he's considered Alpidin to be dead. No, of course, if you see it happening, he's considered to be alive, and therefore, the question of Chacham Tzvi and Rav Yonis and Aipshis becomes much less significant with regard to the question of heart transplant if you take the version of Rav Yaakov Emden. They both would agree that, of course, if you see a person who's alive, living, talking, walking around with his backpack, who's alive, they would both agree that he's alive. But the more important, on a fundamental level, question that I want to discuss, and then we'll loop back around to our primary discussion, is a suggestion by the Chazon Ish, which you just raised. And that is, well, is it so simple that this is not considered to be the new heart? Rav Yaakov Emden, Chacham Tzvi, and Rav Yonis and Aipshis have this whole debate, and the Chacham Tzvi says it's impossible. And Rav Yonis and Aipshis says it is possible. Aye, so what's pumping the blood around? Oh, this other organ, I don't know what it's called. Well, maybe that is a heart. So the Chazon Ish says maybe that was the heart. Another place can say, even if it wasn't the heart, maybe, okay, there's some very strange biological quirk that happened over here that you have some entity, some other organ in there, somehow pumping the blood. Even if you agree to the Yonis and Aishid's reality, his mitzias. Okay, fine. But Alpidin, we would give that entity the status of a heart. For you, your heart is being pumped by this new entity. And if that's the case, certainly these new items, such as these machines, such as a defibrillator, such as a pacemaker, we now define the body parts, not only by whether you created with it, whether this is normally how we define what the body parts should look like, where it should be, but we define body parts based on the functioning. And therefore, if you have something which is providing a function of a different body part, so now all of a sudden, for you, that is your body part. Obviously, this will have major, major ramifications when you want to discuss any sort of transplant. Did that now become my body? I have a defibrillator. I have a pacemaker. Does that become part of my body? After, it used to be very expensive, these items. So after a person died, they would want to take it out to use it on someone else. Could you do that? Or now, that is my heart. You just like you can't take my heart out. You're not allowed to take out my heart out of my body. You're not allowed to get hung up from my heart. So who said you're allowed to take that equipment out? It's now my heart. The haraya, its functioning of a normal heart is going through this thing. That's what we have to finish up this conversation. And then Be'ezus Hashem will begin a new topic, which is very, very related to this question of the Chacham Tzvi and the Crazy Uplacy as well. We'll probably transition in the middle of next year. Same thing. Yeah, same thing. Same Shiloh.
And the other question is, the patient you're talking about now, was his heart?